3, 2, 1. Hi, I'm Joe Tate, and I have a podcast. It's called Over the Timeline. I look back at the highlights and a few lowlights of my sports broadcast career. Over the Timeline, brought to you by the Life Care Centers of Elyria, Westlake, and Medina.
Time for another Over the Timeline with Joe Tate. I'm Bruce Van Dyke, joined by Joe Tate. It is brought to you by Life Care Center of Elyria, Medina, and Westlake. Joe, welcome.
Thank you, sir.
We appreciate you doing these. You get a chance to pick your brain about things you remember or make you remember things that you may have long forgotten.
That is usually the case when I sit down with you, Bruce, because you are a real digger of facts.
I won't go back to, our program today on the timeline references something from 1897. So I had to even look some of this up, but I thought for context, we need to kind of sort of get people to understand references. When you're doing sports, sometimes you'll bring things in from pop culture, from life, from anything that you've read as a broadcaster or just as a scholar, right? I mean, you bring that into play so that you kind of add depth to that. I think that's what makes sometimes broadcasters interesting is what is their frame of reference, right? I mean,
and oftentimes it is a different frame of reference other than the people who are listening.
Right. Well, that you can sometimes listen to Vin Scully or some other broadcaster and learn things from them in the time, right?
I mean, absolutely.
It's not really your job as a broadcaster, as a sports play-by-play guy, but with so many things to do, different sports, you have time to sort of share your intellect, I suppose, right?
Well, I enjoy listening to other guys do their thing because you can learn. You really can learn, and sometimes you can hear ways to cover things that you feel are a mistake in the way you're working because they've already solved the problem.
Right, or you can use frame of reference to explain something.
Yes.
As a broadcaster of a radio, you have to take a visual and give people the emotion and understanding of it, and it could be using just a description of what's happening, the regular nuts and bolts of it, but you can add backstories, other things into it, whether it references something from, you know, the war of a battle or perhaps some other reference in pop culture or something like that, too. So
we've got one coming up today that is a reference to something other than basketball.
Right, and I will say this is one of those, having listened to it, and now we've heard the cut, in which we'll get to in just a little bit, but this kind of sets the stage to it. A lot of times, things taken out of context, you have one sense of it. But if you hear kind of the whole flow of everything, you kind of sort of know where this came from.
Right.
And this goes back to, we're talking about a game that took place in 1991, Cavaliers. You're the play-by-play guy for the Cavaliers, and this is with the Brad Daugherty, Mark Price, Craig Elo era.
Yes.
The era that we thought this is the era that the championship would come from. At least Magic Johnson would at some point thought.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Right.
Yeah.
You lived through a lot of those.
Yes.
As well as we've done previously with the miracle year of Richfield in those years. But this is from December of 1991. And it's ranked up there from Cavaliers listing as from references I saw as one of the greatest months in team history for the Cavaliers in this December month. There was a year, I guess they had a 13-9 start of the season. So the team posted an 11-game winning streak during that particular year, which also had a game earlier where the Cavaliers set an NBA record by winning with the largest margin of victory of any game, defeating Miami by 148-80.
I remember that
What do you remember about that time or that particular
It was
game?
One of those nights where everything the Cavaliers did was good and everything the Miami Heat did was bad. They were on a back-to-back, and at about two-thirds of the way through the game, and I'm trying to remember who was the Miami coach back in those days. He just threw in the towel. I mean, it was, come on, guys, let's get this over with. Get the bus ready to go because we have no chance. And the Cavaliers just poured it out. Everything they put up went in.
Now, you get to those points in the NBA season like that in December, which is sort of in that middle part, the beginning of the season where everybody's hopeful, it's kind of worn off. you're far away from even the All-Star game or the end of the season, and you're sort of in December, which it's a month, you know, that kind of drags. You've got holidays going on, and I suppose also just the travel and you're getting through. So you get games like this, I suppose.
Yeah, by the time you get to December, you're right. You begin to realize how good or how bad you're going to be, and then you look ahead and realize maybe two-thirds of the schedule still in front of you.
This is also the year I was looking. Mark and Brad were both selected for the 1992 NBA All-Star Game, so that's part of that same season as well. And they were named to the All-NBA third team. So you've got still that great guard-center combo of those two.
They did the pick and roll better than probably anybody who's ever worn a Cavalier uniform. Yeah.
And Mark Price was golden at the free throw line.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's you wouldn't even you could call that with your eyes closed for the most part.
It was going in. You just knew
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. So we've got this is December 23rd, 1991, and the Cavaliers are playing the Utah Jazz. So this is, I mean, I don't know how often we play the Utah Jazz.
Once here, once there.
Once
every
there.
Year.
Okay. And there was apparently something that happened in the previous game related to a shot by Craig Elo. Of whether it was a three-pointer or not, or didn't go in, or
well, it was a three-pointer that was out in Utah, and it was an overtime game, and Elo put one up definitely after the buzzer, and it went in. But Joey Crawford, who is still one of my all-time favorite referees, although he did have a quick trigger, he called it good, and as they walked off the floor, Elo passed him. And Crawford just said to him, "That'll teach those guys to call me a bibbidi-bobbidi-boo." So it was a three that Elo was credited with that didn't really count because it came definitely after the buzzer.
And, of course, this is prior to all of this sort of let's all stop and huddle and let's look at everybody's foot.
Yes.
And look at the clock and look at the time like that.
Absolutely. The referee's eyesight was the only thing you had going.
What did you commentary, maybe. What do you think about the way things become where you want to get it right, but somehow the whole momentum and even the enthusiasm gets sucked out of a game because of that sort of thing?
I watched a Cavalier game recently, and they had four stoppages in the final 2 minutes of the game to determine which team's player touched the ball last on the way out of bounds. And it took 15, 20 minutes to get it all sorted out because they had to call Secaucus and have them look at all the angles. And, yeah, it does have a tendency to slow things down.
And, games are all about momentum.
Yep.
Basketball, if any other sport, it is all about momentum. You can see a switch get flipped, and all of a sudden you're thinking, they've tilted the floor. All of a sudden it's rolling the other way.
Yeah, and in that particular game, the Cavaliers had made a big comeback to get to within a point, and then all this stoppage, and Brooklyn lost its momentum, and it just took a very nice open shot at the end for the Nets to pull it out, but it took 20 minutes to get there.
When you're doing that, how do you get yourself? I mean, because while all this is happening, you're describing a little bit, but your whole rhythm has kind of got out of sorts, isn't it?
I didn't have to work during those days.
Well, that's right.
All I had to do was say, boy, did he blow that call, or that was a good call. But, you didn't have the stoppages they do now.
Yeah, well, goes again. December 23rd, 1991, so right entering the week of the holiday, Christmas week. And this is it's one of those NBA games where you look at it, I think we join it with 35 seconds left, but there's like a whole about 4 minutes of this audio that takes place here. But this is, again, Cavaliers taking on the Utah Jazz, and Joe Tate with the call of that game.
Malone with his 19th point of the ball game. Now he is 7 for 12. Looking at it officially. 107-105. Malone ready again. It's up. It's in. 20 points for Malone. The Cavs lead by 1, 107-106. Into the forecourt, Price. 35 seconds. Rice around the Doherty pick, top of the key, shoots off the back of the rim, rebound grabbed by Jeff Malone, lobs it out to Stockton. Stockton on the right wing to Karl Malone, drives with a right hand slam, and he's fouled. Karl Malone with 22 will look for 23 at the line.
Foul is on Craig Elo.
Foul is on Elo. The Cavaliers trail 108-107. They have blown a 5-point lead. Karl Malone at the free throw line for one shot. 24.1 seconds left. It's up. No good. Rebound slapped wide off Stockton's hand and out of bounds. What a break. And the Cavs take time.
So the Cavaliers take time. They're going to be getting the ball back here. And setting it up. The crowd seems to be, I mean, this is in mid-December. There seems to be an exciting crowd going here. Maybe they got holiday tickets or whatever. But
I was standing room only, and I want to point out the fact that there was no technically augmented crowd in there. Those were people who were actually making the noise with their own tonsils. Didn't have that stuff back in the old days where they tried to make you think there were 30,000 people sitting there when there were only 10.
Where are we playing this game in 1991? Are we
out at the Coliseum?
At the Coliseum there as well. And so here we are. We pick up the action after that out of bounds.
Henry James will now inbound on the near side of the forecourt at the timeline. James looks, lobs to Elo. Elo between the circles to the left wing against Jeff Malone. Lob to Doherty. Doherty left side, 16 seconds. Doherty moves into the lane. Back out to Price, the three in the air. Good! Price drills a three with 8 seconds to go. Stockton down the floor. On the right side, the runner up. Good! Stockton ties the game at 110. 2.8 seconds. Henry fires down floor. He threw it over everybody. And that gives the ball right back to the Utah Jazz under their own back.
So there you got, I mean, you've got it up and down. You got the excitement, and even the crowd can tell when the ball gets thrown out of bounds.
And you've even got the legendary Henry James cranking one up and throwing it into downtown Akron.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about Henry?
No.
No?
I vaguely remember Henry as a player on the Cavaliers because you showed me a headline in the Chronicle-Telegram that said, you know, James is, well, we won't get into that because it kind of just spoils
end. It says, James ready to treat Elo to dinner.
Yeah.
That was, and this came out on December 4th, 24th, headline in the Chronicle-Telegram Sports says, shot rids Henry of goat horns.
But that ain't the James that Cavalier fans in this day and age remember.
That's right.
Not LeBron, Henry.
Henry James. So he threw it out of bounds, gives the ball back to Utah. We're running out of time here, Joe.
Yes, we are.
But as you know, seconds in the NBA can take quite a long time. I don't know, that Swiss time seems to slow down depending on whether you have the ball or the other guy has the ball. We've got more coming up with Joe Tate as we continue our Over the Timeline. We'll take a break and we'll be back. This brought to you by Life Care Center of Elyria, Medina, and Westlake.
He was a voice heard by Cleveland Cavalier and Cleveland Indians fans for decades.
There's a long drive to left field!
Until illness struck.
I've been at Life Care twice. Both times, they helped me fight my way back home. It wasn't easy, but I came back.
Meet Joe Tate.
Life Care helped get me back on my feet.
Real people, real heroes. Life Care Centers of America.
With locations in Elyria, Westlake, and Medina.
We're back with Joe Tate. I'm Bruce Van Dyke. It's Over the Timeline with Joe Tate, brought to you by Life Care Center of Elyria, Medina, and Westlake. But here's the next audio for that, again, from the December 23rd, 1991 game, the Utah Jazz and the Cavaliers.
Karl Malone will do the honors. 2.8 seconds. Malone looks under the basket, gave it to Blue Edwards. He put it in! Now there's 1.3 seconds left, and the Cavaliers take time. Blue Edwards with 30 points in the ball game. And 1.3 seconds left. Well, You've heard of the miracle on 34th Street. How about the miracle on Streetsboro Road? They're going to need one. 1.3 seconds left. Utah leading 112 to 110.
Little holiday reference there, Joe, from the Miracle on 34th Street as well. So you're, see, I think this is a little priming the pump for the call that's about to come. But you're getting into the holiday thing, and you're kind of just looking at it, you're thinking, oh, I'll go reference the a little stretch. I don't mind that one, but Streetsboro, that's where this the Coliseum located on.
Yeah, it fits more than in Route 303.
Exactly here. So, okay, so the Cavaliers get one last chance, or at least they're getting the ball in, and here's where it happens.
Elo will inbound far side, 1.3 seconds. Elo looking, fires to Doherty, back to Elo, the three in the air. Cleveland Cavaliers Basketball Radio Network.
Now, I don't know, Joe, you can hear you're chuckling a little bit in there, and I'm just curious as to, like, is that suddenly what you realize what you said, and so because everything kind of comes out, or are there other folks with you who heard that who are going to give you a little bit of a look on that?
I've heard this before, obviously. I didn't realize I did chuckle until I just heard it again this time. So I can't reference that chuckle to any particular thing. I sit here right now, Bruce, and have no idea why I said what I said or how it came out. It was there, and I said it. And
it works on so many levels, Joe, and that's what makes it sort of a classic call. Because, first of all, you have the reference of the, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. And for those who maybe don't know, Joe, just because you like the fact that I do some of my research, that comes from 1897, with Virginia O'Hanlon writes to the New York Sun telling them that they're asking if there is a Santa Claus, saying that her kids in school say that there is no Santa Claus. And Papa tells her that if it's in the Sun, she sees in the Sun that it is true. So she asks the editor, is there a Santa Claus? And he writes back this much printed editorial about being in the hearts of children for all time, concluding with, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus.
Bruce, you're amazing.
Joe, I had to do the research on that because my only reference is from a Rankin and Bass cartoon show that they did reference sort of that little story, fairy tale or legend as it were. But do you reference this in 1991 about something almost 100 years later, which of different generations may or may not reference it? But the facts that you get to throw in Craig Elo's name and Lubbock, I think the key to this whole thing, obviously, is Lubbock, Texas,
right,
which is a great word and kind of brings a chuckle just when you think about that and what is able to be done. But the chuckling is interesting because you're up there on broadcast now. And occasionally, at some point, you said Pete Franklin used to sit next to you.
Yes.
Don't know if he was there at that particular time.
Yes.
On that, because if it was, he probably would have applauded you on a little bit of a literary reference that you have. But I think it's one of those moments that kind of people hear it, and it just, you know, fits in. Even though the game was a three-pointer, there's been other game-winning shots. It just seemed to work well on that season. So here you are after the timeout. You come back, and you get to chat with Craig Elo a little bit on it. Here's how that conversation.
All right, back here at the Coliseum, 16,181. Watch the Cavaliers pull one right out of the fire tonight. Trailing with 1.3 seconds to go, two down to the Jazz. Craig Elo hit a three-pointer on the left wing at the buzzer. It counted, and the Cavaliers a winner, 113 to 112. And as I said, you live for moments like that. What a great way to go to Christmas with that kind of a finish. Well, without any further ado, let's now talk to a man
really did a job. What kind of job? Craig, listen to this. Elo looking, looking, fires to Doherty, back to Elo, the three in the air. It's good! He won it! Elo hit a three-pointer on the sideline at the buzzer. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus, and he comes from Lubbock, Texas. Final score. Craig.
Oh.
I don't know how you feel, but I feel great.
Stomach doesn't hurt anymore.
No,
never will.
You cured it tonight, big guy.
Oh, deja vu.
I know announcers live for moments like that. Ball players have to live for moments like that, too.
Oh, it was a great reward. I went to the free throw line to hit two free throws, and I missed those. And then I missed an easy jumper there. So that was a great reward to have that happen to me at the end of the game.
Craig, was it diagrammed that way during the timeout?
Well, actually not. I had three options, and all three looked pretty covered. So Brad just stepped up, and he knew that he had to throw it back. So he threw it back, and I let it go.
I thought that's a fun conversation you have. You're hearing it back again. You're talking to the guy. You make this call, and you hear a little bit of that. But that's really what makes, you know, the broadcast so special.
Well, that is a point in time where you could ask for a top name, a Julius Irving, for instance, and he'd come out and talk to you. There's an entirely different attitude in this day and age. But back in the old days, yeah, stars would come out and do a post game with you. And sometimes we had things to give them, and oftentimes it was just they came out and just did the interview.
At the end of the we have a little more of the interview. You talk with Craig Elo, and you get to talk a little about a serious topic, too. But you offer it there. I guess he gets a dinner, at the Richfield, at the restaurant.
Tavern to Richfield?
That they had there as well, I believe.
He came out on top. Good.
Absolutely like that. Was he coming up from where you're sitting, or you got some like long distance transmissions when he's talking with somebody like that?
If I remember, I'm in the perch.
Okay.
And although it's not the perch because it's the old building,
right.
But Elo's down on the floor, and he can hear me through a headset, and he's got a microphone down there, and I'm up above.
Well, yeah, whoever your producer was, you know, he was thinking, I got gold here. This is a great cut. I have this call. Things aren't the same way they were, because if there was a call like that, that would work its way around social media, would work its way on any of the sports shows if they wanted to put a call in there as well. I mean, you have a call that broadcasters outside of sports people just love to hear that.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if those are the things, you know, as you talk about just doing it, letting it flow. Sometimes if you don't get in the way of yourself, magic will happen.
Right? That is a good way to put it.
Well, besides talking to him about that particular shot, and now that you have a chance to talk with Craig Elo, you have a little bit of a somewhat of a personal discussion with him dealing with his sister who had been ill at the time, and you kind of talk a little bit about that.
Craig, this has been, in some ways, a very difficult year for you because of the illness of your sister, and I know at times it's been very, very hard for you to concentrate. I think any of us who have not been through something like that can in any way, shape, or form know what it's like, but I guess a moment like this, at least in some small measure, gives you some pleasure in a year when maybe pleasure is a little hard to find.
Yeah, it really has. I mean, that was something that I'll get to cherish for a long, long time, and hopefully go back to Lubbock one day and tell Kerry about it.
Craig, a lot of people have asked me, how is she doing?
No change. She's lost some more weight. She started out, when she came to visit me actually this summer up here, she was about 130 pounds, and now she's down to 90. So we still got our fingers crossed. We're still saying a lot of prayers and have a lot of people praying for her. So she's going to beat this thing.
Well, I know a lot of people will join with you and all of your family and friends in those prayers here at Christmas time. And well, what a great Christmas present that would be. Craig, what does this do for the ball club, a game like this, a night like this?
I think it's definitely got to lift our spirits and know that if it comes down to this again, maybe it'll be on our side again. But I think, you know, just going out and beating the Utah Jazz, who are one of the top teams in the Western Conference, is just a big lift for us also.
You think Utah might have you in their dreams here? That's not the first time you've beat them.
Yeah, I was waiting for Hot Rod Hundley to call me out and ask me if it was good again. So I was lucky tonight. That was a lucky shot, and I'm glad it went in.
Craig Elo, just a fabulous moment for us all. You know that all of us wish you and yours, and of course especially your sister, all of the very best there. Our prayers and our hopes are with you, big guy, and you go home now and have as good a Christmas as possible, and who knows, maybe we'll call upon you to do this again before the season is over.
Well, with the feeling that I got now, I'd be glad to do that for you.
Thank you, Craig. Merry Christmas.
Same to you, Joe. Merry Christmas to you.
Mixing a little bit of the sports world, but understanding that the tragedy strikes people as well. His sister, Carrie, did pass away the following year from cancer. But I guess it kind of shows, Joe, when you're doing these broadcasts, sometimes you know things of people and how willing they are to maybe talk about it, but how that impacts players. Because, you know, we see them on the ball court, but they have a life outside of that that has impacts on what they do.
Well, I've said this before. This particular group of ball players was probably the finest group of human beings that I've ever had to work with. They were outstanding.
So Mark Price, Brad Doherty, Craig Elo, Larry Nance.
Mike Sanders. I mean, it was just an outstanding, Hot Rod Williams, it was just an outstanding group of human beings.
Was that a real enjoyable time to call those games? Because it was a great people, great teams. You were in the Michael Jordan era of things, which kind of, this was another season that ended with the Bulls defeating us. We got into the postseason, but didn't get past those darn Chicago Bulls.
I know. And by the way, I would just in passing urge people to get a copy of Terry Pluto's new book called Vintage Cavs, and he details everything from the formation of the Cavaliers and the magic that Nick Meletti put together to get all of that aimed in the right direction, right on up to LeBron, but then the book stops with that particular point. But there are some fabulous stories in that book about the teams and the people involved with the Cavaliers prior to the LeBron James era.
You lived it, but did you realize what you were living through having looked at that book? I mean, obviously there's more things that come out that maybe you didn't even know of.
Well, I was.
Or were you the main source for the book?
Well, I was thrilled to have a book dedicated to me. So, and that's what he put down. He says, Joe Tate, he lived it. And I guess I did.
Well, that's what we enjoy somewhat about doing the Over the Timeline. You get to share some of those different moments, including the one today about Craig Elo.
Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus, and he comes from Lubbock, Texas.
Joe Tate and Over the Timeline brought to you by the Life Care Center of Elyria, Medina, and Westlake.